Good morning. I'm Tina, and this is Brian, and our family is currently raising monthly support to get ready to go to Wales with Foursquare Missions International. One of the driving verses that God has given us as we have started on this process is from Haggai 1, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Why are you living in your luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins?"
So we're going to an area where less than 2% of the population are Christians, and almost 25% live below the poverty line. The need for workers to help rebuild the house is great. So we're going to be working with the missionary, Mike. Right now, he is spending a lot of time overseeing some outreach ministries in his church in this fairly impoverished community. We'll be taking over much of that oversight for these ministry projects, ministry opportunities, and working to expand them in Bethel, as well as looking to see what the needs are in this community and create new opportunities for ministry and expand these to make more long-term lasting effects for the needs that are not being met. This will help bring others into the church to experience the love of Jesus, but it will also at the same time free up Michael to help train and mentor pastors who are already in process to come to help fill these other churches too and take leadership roles in those areas. And as these pastors take leadership roles in those churches, we will be working with them to help put ministries in place at their locations as well to reach the needs of their communities which they are in. We'll be taking the ministries currently in place at Bethel, like a cafe and a food bank, and taking those to these other churches and tailor those to their communities to help meet those needs and the specific issues that they're dealing with.
So we are currently in the process of gaining monthly partnerships with people. As soon as we reach 100% of the monthly budget that we have set for what we will need to live and work in Wales, then we can deploy. So we're hoping... We're looking towards the end of next summer for that. We want to thank those of you who are already supporting us monthly. We really appreciate that. And if you feel like God is leading you to partner in this work of rebuilding his house in Wales, please come and talk to us after church. Thanks.
This is so much... It's interesting to see how God is working to draw together churches across denominational lines. Here you have, Brian and Tina came to us and said, "Does the Alliance have a work in Wales? Because our heart is burdened for Wales." And we spoke with the Alliance, and we don't have any missionaries in Wales. We don't have any workers there. But the Foursquare Church does. And so the Foursquare Church said, "Well, yeah, you're part of this Alliance Church. You can go with the Foursquare Church and you become a Baptist when you get there." And this is the kingdom of God, folks. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The labels we place on ourselves and the slight, you know, the little differences here and there in our theological perspectives do not stop the work of the kingdom. And so we are thrilled that you've been a part of us, and we are thrilled to be able to participate with you in this work to recapture land that was already ours, that belonged to Christ once, but has slipped away because of a church that allowed its light to dim. Let this also be a lesson to us here. It can happen. And it's not because of the government or other groups that it happens. It's because the church does not tend the light. But let's pray for the Cruthards and for their support here. Father, we are so grateful for Brian and Tina and their children and the blessing that they have been to us and continue to be to us here at The Rock. Lord, we thank you for this call that you have so clearly placed on their lives. And Lord, this deep longing to join in the battle there in Wales. But Father, the finances are at this point the only thing keeping them from leaving and going. And Lord, we ask that you would provide, that they would have multiple opportunities to share their story in this wonderful video. Lord, that there would be, that you would place on the hearts of your people, individual families that feel this compelling to join in, to retake Wales with the message of grace and mercy and peace. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your presence among us. And Lord, we ask that you would clear the way for Brian and Tina and their family now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for sharing so much. Ralph and Valerie are going to join us and share the ministry.
Well, I guess we'll start with the ladies. That seems to be the trend today. But my name's Valerie. This is Ralph, my husband. And when we met, the Lord showed me it was a perfect match because the Lord had already called my heart to missions. And Ralph's heart had been called to missions. And so it was a perfect match. Besides, I thought he was pretty cute. But anyway, we served, just like Jessica and Roland, we served with Mission Aviation Fellowship for 26 years. We were in, for 12 and a half years, we were in Irian Jaya. You know, there's an island, Papua New Guinea, it's above Australia. Well, we were on the west side, which is part of Indonesia, and it was called Irian Jaya, now it's called Papua. We were there as a pilot, missionary pilot family for 12 and a half years. And then we came back in 2001, and we were still with MEF. Ralph became a recruiter, so he got to go replace himself, which means he got to go to colleges and missions conferences and talk to young men and women who would like to go out and be a missionary pilot. And so we did that for another, 14 years or so. And then while we were home, he was going to seminary and got us his master's degree. And his master's degree was in spiritual formation and soul care. And we are with a different organization called NOVO. And it means new life, because life in Christ is a new life. And we've been doing that for 6 years now, so Ralph will explain that. And while I was in the field, it was really neat. The Lord gave me chances to work with even village ladies that lived in grass huts to mentor them and encourage them in their faith with Jesus. And the Lord has allowed me also to be mentoring and encouraging women here in their life with Christ.
Yeah, so Val, her role a lot of times in the overseas, when we were overseas, was hospitality. Well, she does a lot of that now, too, behind the scenes. As we're going to have meetings next month in Boise, and she's behind the scenes taking care of everybody, and they all appreciate that. Here's the thing, and I'll get to this in a little bit, but we were going to be in Indonesia this year for like 10 weeks, hopefully. And one of the key things that Val was going to be part of is, the last two times I went to Indonesia, I would have run across pastors' wives and other women who just needed to hear something, and someone to talk with. And there's sort of a, you know, especially in that culture, you don't sit down with a woman and talk to her about these things. Val was going to be that person. I was really looking forward to it, to see her meet the needs of these women who need to hear God loves them. I mean, they knew this, and some of them knew this, but they weren't experiencing it, and just to be able to listen to them. Anyway, that's one of the parts of this COVID thing that was discouraging, because we had planned this out a year ago. But I'll get to that in just a moment. Now we're part of, and NOVA is a big organization of like 600 missionaries around the world. But we're in about there's over 40 teams. The average team's about 15 people. We're on a team of 14 called Imago Christi. And that's a Latin word meaning the image of Christ. Okay, so the name Imago Christi was taken from 2 Corinthians 3:18. The passage where Paul is talking about, the verses before that, he's talking about that, you remember Moses went up on the mountain and he came down, and what was his face doing? It was glowing. So he put a veil over it. Now later we find out, you don't get that reading the Old Testament, but in the New Testament you find out, I don't know if it was Paul that said this, like, you know, he was kind of trying to hide the fact that his glow was decreasing. So there was a little bit of, you know, Moses was a humble man, but that little insight says, yeah, there's a little bit of he didn't want to see the face decrease. I'm not sure what all that's about. But here's the cool thing about 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is what Paul says. And we all with unveiled face, he's referring to Moses, but we have unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, and that's a reference to abiding in Jesus, are being transformed into the same image. Well, what image is that? The image of Christ. And that's where we get our name, Imago Christi. From one degree of glory to another. And this is referring to the process of spiritual formation, or this transformation process, that it's a process. And I'm explaining all this because this is what we do. We bring this kind of message to others who aren't getting it. Now, the cool thing about being part of the Rock, and I can't go into the story of how God brought me here, is another story, but it was real obvious when I listened to Sean preach, because he's leading us down this road all the time about this formation. And this whole thing, I'll put a big exclamation mark on what he shared earlier. That was really helpful, because that helps you understand that's what we do. And that's why I like being here, because he's doing this discipleship thing, and he's doing it with this emotional healthy discipleship and helping you see the steps it's taking in this transformation process. Now, God's doing the work, but we have to listen and agree and open up to it. So thank you, Sean. And John, it's such a blessing to have a pastor like that. Now, we go to a lot of places, they don't have that, especially like when I go to Indonesia. They have the basic Bible, but they don't understand this process. And this is what we bring to them, this process. So here's the thing. This is the ultimate call. This thing on vocation, I also love this vocational teaching, because the reality is we all have different vocations, and God is in those vocations. Oh, man. It doesn't matter what you're doing. The thing is, we all have one common calling, and that's this one, to become the image of Christ, to be transformed into his image. This is all our callings. It works. You get to work it out in different vocations. So this is the result, and we get there by abiding in Christ, John 15:5, and by and it's an answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17. Father, I pray that they'll be one, just like you and I are one. And so we'll be one with him, and then he gives us his glory. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And this is the message we bring to others. So I tell you all that to understand what we're doing, and we help others discover. We have this event. We do a lot of one-on-one coaching and mentoring, but then we have these discovery events. And some of you have experienced it. We've had a discovery here several years ago. And I want to tell you this. You know, I like these breakdowns. You know, we have this new discipleship paradigm. Higher calling is a group of classes, and common calling, and then personal calling, which is our vocation. It helps us understand how God's at work in all those things. And Sean put, you know, on there the discovery, which is what we teach. And I'm going to tell you that if you want to take this course in emotional health, you will be prepared to take that discovery later on. And hopefully we can do that discovery here again. So we take this discovery, and we had plans to do this. We had some set dates, and then we have a lot of times things pop up suddenly too. Well, all those had to be canceled. We had plans to go to Cancun, Mexico, and meet with 250 other Novo staff. That was canceled. Just a lot of canceled things, which is kind of discouraging. So what we're doing at Discovery is helping Christ's followers discover what God at work in their lives. You got God at work in your life, and sometimes we're kind of oblivious to it because of the distractions and the noise, and sometimes even the language helps to get the concepts down, and that's what you'll get in emotional, healthy, spiritual discipleship. So there's two words I found in the Bible that is the way the authors describe God at work. I did a little search. There was in the English Standard Version, it came up like over 60 times, these two words, but God. And so when we came to these problems of cancellations, I was like, hmm. And my, especially the trip to Indonesia, I was building on 2 years of I went to Indonesia kind of back-to-back 2 years for short times, and I kept thinking, oh, I need to be here longer. So I prayed about it, and we decided, yeah, as long as I could get a bigger chunk in about 10 weeks, and I was going to spend time mentoring one of my friends and doing a lot of spiritual formation discovery-type things. And that got canceled. So our discoveries. And so we said, what else can we do? Well, but God provided us with something else. And here's an example of but God. Zoom. Yes, I'm going to get to that. And here's an example in Acts 13, 29 to 30. One of the saddest moments in history when it says, when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in the tomb. Wow. Can you imagine those who were so close to Jesus, they saw that, how sad they were? We only see it at a distance and we see the results. They didn't see the results. Then the next two words, but God raised him from the dead. Yes. And then another one. Here's another example. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And we got to remember, it's God doing that work. It's, you know, I love the way they say that. You know, I did this and this, but God was the one who gave the increase. I've got a whole list of but God verses back there at the missions thing in the little slot. If you want to follow through, there's at least 17. And then if you don't want a paper copy, email me and I'll send you a list of 64. So our team asked the question, what else could we do? And we put it on Zoom. And here's the cool thing. So in June, we were going to have a thing in Atlanta at the first weekend in June in person, because we do all these events, and we have usually 15 up to 30 people. Well, we put it on Zoom, and we had 100 participants on this one event. Half of them from Canada, which they would never have come to the Atlanta one. So it was not only a blessing and an opportunity, but it reached more people. And then we had two other events in June. So we had a total of about 45 to 50 hours on Zoom, which was kind of tiring. But three events reaching 23 countries with our discovery. So over 130 people. And we went, wow, didn't expect that. And it gave us a whole nother way of thinking about how we present our material. So the Lord really opened up the way. This was a but God. And even yesterday, we had a follow-up event to those other events. And so it was just amazing to see. And most of these people in these other countries were missionaries, but we did have a handful of nationals who joined in on the event. So we have some more planned. The fallout of that is that this one group that we did it with in Atlanta, they just so were encouraged that they have scheduled several others. And the next one's in February. And then there's others following that, which we're just going, wow, that opened up doors that we didn't think would ever happen. So I want to read to you, finish up here by letting Val read to you this two testimonies that of people who attended the event.
I loved the Zoom format. All of you did an amazing job with the technology. We were amazed by the small group breakouts, and although random, were very divinely appointed. You may not fully comprehend, but the people I shared with were ordained by God for such a time as this. Many profound blessings. God is so into every detail. Another comment. I really enjoyed the Zoom aspect to this webinar and the ease of breaking into the small groups for discussion, sharing, and group learning. Using Zoom made this training a possibility for us, whereas having to leave home and go somewhere for the seminar would have blocked us from participating in it.
So this is not really an advertisement for Zoom, but it just shows you what God... It's a neat tool. It's worked. It's very helpful. But it just shows you how God had, you know, if we look around, there's always a but God. He comes through. So we had many more testimonies like this, which we can't read now, but the discovery retreats help Christ followers experience a deeper level of abiding in Christ. This is all our calling, to abide. And the outflow of that is what John said, jubilee, not only to the world around us, but in our lives too. So, you know what he says in 15:15, and we minister to a lot of Christian workers around the world. This says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And we'll stop with that.
This is one of the blessings of having several in a row like this, is that you begin to see the breadth of all that God is doing around the world. We've talked about going into places where the gospel has never been heard, but has opportunity to be brought there by aircraft. We heard about a place that was at one time a stronghold of Christianity that has lost its way, and so there's a revival, there's a movement to revive. And here we talk about what is oftentimes for Christian leaders around the world that need encouragement, that need to be drawn into the strength of the Spirit and the work that's being done. So there's all this going on all the way around the world and through so many different ministries. And we so appreciate that we've had the opportunity as well to benefit from that. So let's pray together for the Dawsons. Father, we thank you so much for the work that Val and Ralph are doing in this country and around the world. And Lord, though this has been a disappointing year in so many ways for so many around the world, because of this pandemic, you have demonstrated your ability to make good out of that which was meant for evil. And Lord, we thank you for the movement of many who have been able to draw nearer to you through this ministry through the use of technology. Lord, as this year, as they go forward now, I pray, Father, as they have asked, that you would provide them with ears to hear what it is that you would have them to do, to have the ability to flex, to try new things, to go in directions that they would not have expected, but God is showing them, mm-hmm, even now. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this ministry, that you would mature your people, that you would draw us all into closer fellowship with you, that you would be glorified, and that we would be strengthened to be the people of God in the world today. And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, amen.
One last, finally, and it's there are two who are going to come up. Chris and Paige and their newest addition are going to be are looking at entering into mission, and I'm going to let you go.
All right. So first of all, I want to thank you guys for letting me come and speak again. I know last time I was here, I shut the church down for about 2 months, and so I'm sorry about that. But for those guests that might not get that, I preached the sermon right before COVID closed everything down. So that's this is my first time back speaking in front of you guys, understandably. So the missions committee put out a couple of questions for me to answer, and apparently I'm the only one who's going to go through them specifically because I like to follow the directions. So I will go through those to kind of give you an idea of what I'm working with. So the first one was the biblical foundation or verses that the mission that we're going to work with is based on. Well, we don't have a specific mission that we're going to be working with yet. So I'm going to give a generalized, this is kind of where missions comes from biblically, because for a long time people didn't think missions was very biblical. And I think it's pretty easy to see that it is. So I'm going to start in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, if you want to follow along. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then the story is explained how this applies to us by Paul in Galatians 3, 7 through 9. "Now then, that is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached to the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And then the story continues with Jesus in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And the fruition of these promises is delivered in Revelations to John in Revelation 7, 9 through 11. "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures, they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God." This is what mission seeks to fulfill. They seek to have this this glory image of everybody from all the world, all tribes, all tongues, praising God. And so that is the reason for global missions and why my wife and I know everybody else here is seeking to go into the mission field to have this experience when we get to praise God at the throne. The next question was what organization we're going to be work with and with what focus. And to be completely honest, I have no clue. So that's that question, pretty simple. Where would you be serving? No clue, still no idea, still waiting on God on that one. And what you'll be doing and what impact you hope to have? No clue. Don't know what God has in store for us. So those were kind of the awkward, easy questions. But what people group will you be serving? This one I'm able to answer. God has given us insight into the people groups that we'll be serving with, at least vaguely. To introduce you to this people group, I'm going to first give you some definitions on who they are, and then everybody's favorite thing, some statistics. Yay! Paige, Yael, and I hope to work with unreached people groups. Many of you are probably familiar with this term, but for those who are not, an unreached people group is a people group where there is no indigenous community of believing Christians that have adequate numbers and adequate resources to evangelize their own people group without outside assistance. So that is the group that we are hoping to work with. And now for some crazy statistics about these unreached people groups. Many of you might think that this is a small percentage of the world's population, perhaps a few small tribes lost in the vastness of Earth's landmasses, but that is far from the truth. As of right now, there are a total of 17,400 diverse people groups on this Earth, and of those 17,400, over 7,400 of those people groups are considered to be an unreached people group. With a population of over 3.2 billion people, that's billion with a B, individuals in these groups. That's 41% of the world's population falls into these people groups. With such a huge group of people that have absolutely no access to a single follower of Christ to bear witness to them, and many of them with no access to the gospel in their own written language, you'd probably guess that at this time, a large portion of cross-cultural missionaries are going to these areas to share the gospel. Unfortunately, only about 10% of the missionaries that we send out are going to these people groups. That's 10% of the workers for 40% of the world's population. Much of that can be contributed to the fact that many of these countries, China, India, Pakistan, are difficult for the standard Christian missionary to access. They don't allow Christian missionaries into their country. That's just the way it is. So that's kind of where the next question comes in by the missions committee. How do you expect to use your talents and gifts in the missions field? As many of you are aware, and as I mentioned earlier, Paige is a registered nurse. God has gifted her with an amazing talent and desire to help heal others, not only physically, but also spiritually. I myself have been gifted with an amazing ability to solve complex math problems. Yay! But I am currently studying mechanical engineering at Boise State, and I'm on track to graduate the spring of 2022 with my bachelor's, and then the following spring, if everything goes well, of 2023 with my master's in mechanical engineering. And our hope is to use these skill sets that God has provided us to work professionally in some of these countries that are harder to access as a nurse and an engineer, and then to share the love of Christ in our workplace and with our neighbors, really no differently than many of you are living and working here in the U.S., but just in a foreign culture. So that's what we're trying to focus on right now and what we're working towards. The next question was, what challenges or issues are facing us right now? Besides a severe lack of sleep from the young one keeping us up all night, we are still seeking God's guidance on where to go, with what organization we'll be working with, and what people groups we'll be trying to reach. As many of you know, it's difficult to wait for God's timing. I want to be planning, learning a language, getting to know the people groups that we'll be working alongside. But God has decided thus far to teach us patience. And I believe he also wants to make sure that we understand when all these plans do come together that it wasn't our doing, that it was his doing. So that way we can have the confirmation that that's where he wants us to go. The next question was, how did you become led to missions? For Paige, it's a simple answer. I know she's been felt led to missions for almost her entire life. I was a bit more stubborn, on the other hand, and I have quite a long story about my journey to desiring to going out on the mission field. So I'm already running on time. So come talk to me after church if you want to hear my story. But what it really boils down to is exposure to missionaries, learning more about what they do, a few key people speaking truth into my life, a divine confirmation that this is what God desires for Paige, myself, and Yael to do as well. And then I was asked to challenge you guys, or to encourage you to become involved in missions. So some of you might be aware, but many of you probably aren't. The church actually paid for Paige and I to go attend a Perspectives on Christian Missions class this spring, and so winter/spring, and so Paige went and I went and did that, And there were two key facts that kind of just gut punched me as we were going through that class, something that I learned and has just really stuck with me. And so I want to leave you with these two facts about global missions and unreached people groups as well to process through. Unreached people groups are currently not a financial priority. Until recently, Americans, that is Americans in general, not just the church, spend more on Halloween costumes for their pets than on outreach for unreached people groups. It's pretty crazy. And then the second fact, on global missions as a whole, specifically focusing on the church, the amount of money involved in ecclesiastical church crime is currently greater than the amount that goes towards global missions. Those two facts blew my mind. And I hope you guys chew on that and kind of think those over. And so those are my two challenges. They're not really challenges, but something to think about. So thank you, guys. I love you. It's great to be here. And thanks.
Well, you're back where you want to be. Let's pray together for the map box. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your call. Lord, that you place within our hearts what it is that you have for us to be about and how to use this life that you have granted to us as we walk with you and enjoy your presence. Lord, I thank you for Paige and for Chris and now for Yael, who has joined them, and the passion that they have to spread the good news of Jesus, the Jubilee of God, around the world. Lord, we understand, we're grateful for their willingness to commit when the answer to so many questions is, I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know. But all I know is that God is calling, and we will follow him wherever he leads. And so we pray your blessing on this couple and on this baby. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to unveil the road that you would have them to walk. Thank you for the opportunity that they have to develop the skills, to develop the ability to wait and to listen, and to grow in their anticipation of what it is that you would have them to be about. We thank you for the benefit that we enjoy having them here among us, ministering with us and to us, Father. And we pray that you would continue to bless that relationship. And Lord, we ask that you would give them clarity in the days ahead. Thank you for the blessing of their good health. And thank you for this wonderful addition. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.